This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
And the stakes couldn't be higher. That's the message coming from the governor.
Governor Abbott says school choice is imperative to keep Texas children competitive in a changing world.
We rank number one for economic development, number one for jobs, number one for so many things. It's time that Texas ranks number one for educating our students.
Former Arizona Governor Doug Ducey says Arizona became the first state in the nation to pass universal school choice, but it took 8 years to do so.
50 years ago, politicians stood in the schoolhouse door and wouldn't let minorities in. Today, politicians stand in the schoolhouse door and won't let minorities out. These kids are trapped in failing public schools, and it's time to set these families free.
Abbott says the state can both fund public education fully and provide meaningful opportunities through school choice. From the 24-hour news center, Austin, York, News Radio 1080, KRLD.
Well, some Republican members of Congress want Democratic Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett censured for comments she made about the governor. During a recent event, she opened her speech admitting that she has a history of dealing with the aftermath of what she says.
If you've ever paid any attention to me, y'all know that I always have remarks and then something else happens. And so we gonna do just a couple of remarks and then something else gonna happen and y'all just pray for me because who knows what I'm gonna end up saying.
So is she going too far with her comments?
Franks University's Mark Jones says Congresswoman Crockett is playing the role of resistance leader to the Trump administration. And because her district is solid blue, she really doesn't have to worry much about Republican voters. However,
all things being equal, her combative approach is likely to cause her to be less effectual in terms of passing legislation.
At a human rights event, Crockett took a shot at Governor Greg Abbott, calling him, quote, Governor Hot Wheels.
That is going too far, but we have seen several instances in the past where Congresswoman Crockett has used inflammatory and at times offensive language to refer to Republicans and other opponents.
From the 24-hour news center, Russell Scott, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Now, the Congresswoman posted today, I wasn't thinking about the governor's condition. I was thinking about the planes, trains, and automobiles he used to transfer migrants into communities led by black mayors, deliberately stoking tension and fear among those most vulnerable.
Well, we've been talking about the Medal of Honor Museum getting ready to welcome visitors, and today, the grand opening.
The National Medal of Honor Museum is now open to inspire America.
People have come from as far away as California and Massachusetts just so they could head inside as soon as the doors opened.
Those are all brothers of ours, and we owe them that respect. Some of them didn't come home.
I just felt like I need to see this.
The Medal of Honor Museum Foundation's Charlotte Jones says they've spent 5 years planning and building, but recipients have spent decades waiting to have their stories told.
We are finally here to get to see it to fruition, to recognize these incredible men and one woman, and the stories and what they are, who they are as individuals.
Five pillars marking the branches of the service support the museum 40 feet above the ground. In Arlington, Alan Skaya, News Radio 1080, KRLD.
It broke late yesterday that plans for the recent attack on the Houthi rebels in Yemen were shared in a group chat, including several top military officials and the editor-in-chief for The Atlantic magazine.
That, how did he get on the thing?
That's the oopsie part. Jeffrey Goldberg is his name, and he says he didn't publish any of what he saw on the Signal app, which is available to anyone, by the way. But Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth says there wasn't anything to see in the first place, and he chose to attack Goldberg instead.
You're talking about a deceitful and highly discredited so-called journalist who's made a profession of peddling hoaxes time and time again, to include the, I don't know, the hoaxes of Russia, 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 or the fine people on both sides hoax, or suckers and losers hoax. So this is the guy that peddles in garbage. This is what he does. I would love to comment on the Houthi campaign because of the skill and courage of our troops. I've monitored it very closely from the beginning. And you see, we've been managing 4 years of deferred maintenance under the Trump administration. Our troops, our sailors were getting shot at as targets. Our ships couldn't sail through. And when they did shoot back, it was purely defensively or at shacks in Yemen. President Trump said, no more. We will reestablish deterrence. We will open freedom of navigation. And we will ultimately decimate the Houthis, which is exactly what we're doing as we speak from the beginning, overwhelmingly.
Why were those details shared on Signal? And how did you learn that a journalist was privy to the targets, the types of weapons used?
I've heard I was characterized. Nobody was texting war plans. And that's all I have to say about that.
But according to Goldberg.
No, that's a lie. He was texting war plans. He was texting attack plans. When targets were going to be targeted, how they were going to be targeted, who was at the targets, when the next sequence of attacks were happening. I didn't publish this, and I continue not to publish it because it felt like it was too confidential, too technical. And I worry, honestly, that sharing that kind of information in public could endanger American military personnel. But no, they were plans for the attack.
The president's reaction to this.
I don't know anything about it. I'm not a big fan of The Atlantic. To me, it's a magazine that's going out of business. I think it's not much of a magazine, but I know nothing about it. You're saying that they had what?
They were using Signal to coordinate on sensitive materials. And
having to do with what? Having to do with what? What were they talking about?
With the Houthis.
The Houthis? You mean the attack on the Houthis?
Right.
Well, it couldn't have been very effective because the attack was very effective. I can tell you that. I don't know anything about it. You're telling me about it for the first time.
All right. Since that statement, though, the White House, through the National Security Council, has confirmed that, in fact, it did happen.
I want to give us put out part of the statement that the NSC spokesperson Brian Hughes sent. He said, at this time, the message thread that was reported appears to be authentic, and we are reviewing how an inadvertent member was added to the chain. He then goes on to say, this thread is a demonstration of the deep and thoughtful policy coordination between senior officials. Now, included on this text chain were reportedly Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of Defense, Mike Walls, who initiated the chain, according to this report in The Atlantic. That included that reporter on there as well. And now, the reason why this is a really interesting story is because the information that was shared on that chain, sensitive information, operational information about the Houthi, the attack on the Houthis in Yemen before it happened. This reporter found out before it happened. He initially didn't believe that this was the case, that these government officials could potentially be sharing this information on a publicly available commercial app, not a government communication system, which is typically the case.
Our reaction to this among Democrats is about what you'd expect. Here's Pete Buttigieg dropping an F-bomb.
To see this administration claiming that it cares about competence and merit, and then be responsible for an epic fuck-up like this, demonstrates that these are not serious people.
I just want you to keep in mind, Pete Buttigieg is probably going to be running for president in 2028, so we're going to be hearing a lot from him over the next 3 to 4 years.
Anyone that has aspirations are like, oh, my God.
But this
I'm
is
surprised
like,
Gavin Newsom hasn't popped out yet.
You know, this is another classic example of why people hate the current state of politics. Because you get caught doing something, and your initial reaction is to deny and attack the messenger, which is what the White House is doing in this case. But and then the Democrats are just piling on. Wouldn't it be nice if they said, yeah, we made a mistake, we screwed up, we're going to try real hard to make sure it never happens again. And if the Democrats would say, we're going to help you do that, We're going to all work together.
What kind of a world do you live in, buddy?
I know.
I just got a text message where we're going to kill those Houthis, man. I don't know how KRLD got in the thing, but that's what I was. My first reaction was the Atlantic.
Right. Like, I know. I think the Atlantic is like, that's an East Coast thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's,
you know,
the New Yorker, something like that. We were just joking around and reminded us of that scene in Seinfeld. Glamour?
Yeah, Glamour magazine.
If you know the show, you'll know what we're talking
the
about.
The Contest, I believe called.
That's the one. But you're right. I mean, you're going to hear all the Democrats that have presidential aspirations come out on this. Bottom line is, we don't need this stuff getting out. And how in the heck an editor got on a text chain? I don't even know. First of all, the texting thing you shouldn't be doing in the first place about war plans. But secondly, how did the editor of the Atlantic get on the text chain?
There's got to be a better way to share that information.
What was the guy's name again?
Than on an app that is available to anyone is Jeffrey Goldberg.
Jeffrey Goldberg. So that's not like an A. Like, I've had Austin. I have actually been added to some text chains in the past because I'm A, Austin. But
you think anybody in this group looked at the list of people and thought to themselves, Who's
Goldberg? Goldberg?
Oh, well, he must be okay.
He's fine with me.
We'll leave him in. When it comes to illegal drugs, what's old is new again. She don't lie, she don't lie, she
don't lie. Cocaine.
That's right. News Nation's Jorge Ventura tells us how and why cocaine is making a comeback.
U.S. authorities say that overdose deaths tied to fentanyl are seeing a decline. This coming as now criminal groups are ramping up that cocaine production. This also comes as the U.S. government continues to pressure Mexico to crack down on fentanyl production in Mexican states like Sinaloa and Jalisco. Now U.S. authorities are saying they are seeing a huge surge in cocaine trafficking at the southern border. Just this month in Texas, CBP officers seizing $6.2 million worth of cocaine at the FAR International Bridge in plastic rolls in a commercial tractor trailer coming from Mexico. Also this month, Texas Department of Public Safety under Operation Lone Star seizing 794 pounds of cocaine worth $10.5 million in multiple drug seizures. Texas DPS saying, quote, as illegal border crossings decline, Mexican drug cartels are increasing drug smuggling efforts. Also in Texas, Texas DPS seizing more than $6 million worth of cocaine concealed in wrapped bundles inside a semi-trailer. That cocaine weighed more than 500 pounds, according to Texas DPS. The driver, Mario Roberto from Mexico, was arrested and booked into the Hidalgo County Jail. And last month at the Hidalgo International Bridge, CBP officers seizing $2.7 million worth of cocaine concealed in 80 packages coming from a passenger bus, making its entry also from Mexico. Now, U.S. authorities say while that cocaine production is up, fentanyl continues to be a major problem and say that U.S. authorities are attacking that issue at all levels. So according to federal authorities, they say that they're seeing a massive surge in cocaine production in Colombia in South America. These criminal groups in Colombia are also known to work with Mexican cartels in getting that cocaine traffic inside the United States. Also, according to the United Nations Office of Drugs and Crime in a report last year, did also show a surge of 59% rise in cocaine production just in 1 year, yielding 2,664 metric tons. This combined with the Mexican government also cracking down on fentanyl production in key areas like Sinaloa and disrupting criminal networks in Jalisco. Cartels are still producing cocaine at a high level. The Mexican Navy seizing 4.5 tons of cocaine in the waters of Baja California heading towards the United States.
And that is Jorge Ventura reporting. So this story got us thinking back. I mean, cocaine, wow, making a comeback. Some of the names, some of the street names.
I've heard them used a few times.
For cocaine. Now, blow is the obvious one. I think we've all heard that one. But here's some more. Apache. I don't know where that came from. The Big C.
The Big C guy. I can understand it.
Blonde. Candy. Florida Snow.
I love that one.
Mexican Percocet. Scotty. I don't know where that came from. White Girl.
White Girl, I saw that.
Zip, and then one you found, maybe my favorite.
It was Toot, but then a buddy of mine actually used it, Barry White.
Barry White.
Back in the day, I got a little Barry White if you need it.
Wow.
Oh.
And, I don't know. What's more, I they're both harmful.
Yeah.
They both have the potential to be harmful, but I guess if you have to choose, between fentanyl and cocaine.
I'll take a line of coke before I'll take anything with fentanyl at all.
The All Local is updated three times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.